told me this is one for your dad. Yes, she did.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Wrestle Talk Radio, breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Ever heard of a little thing called the internet?
With your host, Tim Stein.
Getting old is a terrible thing.
Mace.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's making money off the internet except us.
Omega.
I can be a jerk and no one can stop me.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
So you all hate me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Joe.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ. And you listen to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have to the earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
That can't do shit, Jack. Suck it!
Get down with the victim. We both know you need them. You're stuck in the middle of all irrelevance. And your heart is beating, 'cause you know that you gotta get out of the middle and rise to the top now.
When you've made it, won't you tell me what to do? 'Cause I'm playing it.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is our WWE Payback After Show Edition. All our thoughts, all our opinions on what was probably a far better pay-per-view than a lot of us probably expected looking at the card heading in. But, so, on to our surprises, or at least our surprise reactions, because we don't surprise anyone with anything around here.
But they surprised us. We'll get to that.
They did. So speaking of no surprises, here's the usual intro. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Playing the Simpsons theme was almost saddening because guess what? Ned Flanders quit.
No!
Really?
And about 75 other
guys. Yeah, I heard Smithers quit.
And Mr. Burns and...
Mr. Burns
Lionel
quit?
Hutz and... Yeah, all the same guy.
God.
That guy did like 90% of the supporting cast. Lenny is gone.
No. That's... Poor Lenny.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of funerals next season.
Just drop a bomb on Springfield. Wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah. And, of course... At the head of the table, as usual, is the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Payback edition of WTR Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, we're on TuneIn. If you're on the go and you can't be at your computer, just download the free TuneIn application, whatever. Download the free TuneIn app and search for Wild Talk Radio. You can listen to all of our programming while you're on the go. And, of course, naturally up here in Canada, it's a Victoria Long Day weekend, so a lot of people are camping. And you could be at the campsite listening to us right now around the campfire. That would be awesome.
Please don't be listening to us around the campfire. You should have other things to do around the campfire. But if you are, thanks, but you shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be what?
Listening to us around the campfire, because you should be doing other things around the campfire.
Like drinking beer?
Drinking beer.
And talking about wrestling?
If that's what you guys do around the campfire, okay.
Oh, it's been a long time since I've been camping, so I can't really do it. When did I last go camping? 1993.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, 1993, that's exactly the last time I went camping, yeah. So, we might as well just dive right into things here, of course, naturally, because I work on Sundays. I did not really catch the majority of the pre-show stuff, but I know that they called a bonus match between R-Truth and Stardust. What the hell did he almost looked like some kind of weird freaking half-kabuki thing.
Honestly, Stardust in the pre-show was probably the most sane-looking thing out of everybody. When you consider the next match, yeah. I just like how it's a bonus match on a pre-show and it's the first match.
That's kind of strange, eh?
And the bonus is R-Truth versus Stardust.
Yeah, well, it wasn't anything overly special. It was just your standard main event match, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess we can call it main event and maybe superstars. I don't know.
It's not even good. Not even big enough to warrant main event.
Wow. Was this like velocity level match?
I think it was a
Sunday Night Heat.
Sunday Night Heat was the pay-per-view pre-show. Don't give it that much credit.
Well, yeah, it wasn't always the pay-per-view pre-show. Or only.
When Sunday Night Heat was good, this would have been a very bad match on a good Sunday Night Heat.
Okay, that tells you a little bit right there.
I mean, you've seen this match on Raw and SmackDown and probably main event. Because we don't get main event here in the U.S. anymore. Thank you, UK. Because it's now on a 4-week delay on the network because of the UK deal. Thanks. Appreciate it. I was actually enjoying it for a while.
All you need is Canadian television to be able to watch it on regular TV, like, right the next day.
Yeah, or get Hulu Plus, but who wants to pay for Hulu Plus?
I don't know of anybody who wants to pay for anything.
I pay for the network. It's $9.99.
Wasn't it free this month to new subscribers with no commitments?
To new subscribers. To new subscribers.
There you go.
Keyword,
yeah.
New.
So who's surprised that R-Truth would have beaten Stardust?
I give no fucks.
Here's something to bring up.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, I know. But here's something to bring up. Is this the end of Stardust?
He's been on a bit of a losing streak lately, hasn't he?
Because it was a year ago he was going on a losing streak, and then he became Stardust. Because he was trying to find a partner for Goldust.
Maybe Cody gets resurrected.
Which, this is what I was writing out somewhere else, but it was like, I feel bad for Cody Rhodes, the video game character, because every year he changes gimmick around June or July, and it's completely wrong in the video game.
Just like, yeah, that's not you now. What are you doing?
Like, in the WWE 2K15, he's not Stardust, he's Cody Rhodes, but he's been Stardust for the past year.
Almost a whole year, yeah.
It's probably since, what, August? Yeah. So it's almost a year. And now he'll probably get out of Stardust and become Cody Rhodes.
He'll be put into 2K16 as Stardust. And then he'll be Cody Rhodes again.
Yeah.
I mean, like, geez, guys, have you never heard of syncing your data?
He just changes his character. Like, one year he was, he was dashing Cody Rhodes, and then, he changed gimmicks. He wasn't wearing the mask anymore. But, hey, he's wearing the mask in the game.
Hey, there you go. So up next after that on the pre-show, didn't they do an Ask Sheamus question and answer thing?
It was awful.
Hashtag Ask Sheamus.
He now represents, his hair represents change and he represents fear, so he's new hair fear.
No, his hair represents you look stupid.
That too, but he's claiming, so I want to point this out, is he the new hair of fear, I guess? I don't know.
The new hair of fear. Okay, quit trying to tie Bray Wyatt into everything you do.
No. No, but think about it. He's claiming to be a face of fear.
Wait a minute. Did you miss the fact that both Mace and I went to the same place in a different sort of way?
Yeah, I was just moving past it.
Yeah, you hang around Lindsay too much. It's not Thursday night.
At 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Better known as The Rack, yeah. Hang around The Rack.
RackRadioShow.com. No.
Hey, it's Rack.
No, hey, I was at least creative. New hair of fear. I was seeing new face of fear all over Twitter for Sheamus.
There you go. Well, yeah, so who cares about Sheamus with his haircut?
Apparently fans on Twitter do, because they asked the question.
Well, they're just weird, that's all.
Yes, yes, they are.
Like Sheamus's haircut. All right. So we had another match on the pre-show.
The Ultimate Showdown, the Meta, or now Mega Powers, they can't make up their mind what they want to call them, and the Ascension. And
did my eyes deceive me, or did Axel come out completely Hulk Hogan'd up?
He was completely Hulk Hogan.
God, he complete with the fake mustache and the do-rag.
Fake mustache, tights, bandana.
And, of course, Omega's favorite character, Macho Mandow.
I'm sorry, but at this point in the proceedings, I was pretty much going, screw this shit, and I was agreeing with JBL when he said Macho Man was spinning in his grave.
Yeah, I get the feeling that not everybody in the quote-unquote WWE universe is comfortable with all of these impersonations going down.
It just makes my skin crawl watching him come out dressed up, you know, that far.
Yeah.
Now, to their credit, at least they're going all the way with it.
Well, if you're going to do something absolutely retarded, you might as well go full-out retard. Don't half-ass it. And so, yeah, if you want to give him credit for not half-assing full-out retard, then okay.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're giving them credit for that.
I would prefer half-assed, man. But at least half-assed, it's an homage. You know, you're not, like, directly trying to be that person.
Well, okay, I guess you do have a point there.
You know, it's like, you know, it's the difference between... You know, it's the difference between doing the triple vertical and the Eddie dance during a match, mm-hmm. and actually coming out to Viva La Raza in a low rider.
Which Ray did at one point.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. But you know, when they come walking down the aisle, the first thing that strikes my mind watching this was when WCW was still around and WWF at the time. Was taking pot shots with the Huckster and the Nacho Man.
They actually brought up the Huckster and Nacho Man during this match.
Oh, well, there you go.
They brought up just about everything during this match.
Only the announcers remember the history.
So, no real need to absolutely go in depth as to what happened with the match. The winners happened to be the Ascension on this one.
He did the big boot and the leg drop. And it was an awful leg drop.
Mizdow or Mandow or Sandow or whatever his name is nowadays this week, climbing the top rope to deliver the elbow when Ascension takes over. So we didn't get the elbow drop, did we?
I can't even remember what we got. It was that bad.
I think I was busy working on dinner when this match was going
down. All I saw was the replay because I completely missed the pre-show.
Well, we won't blame you on this one. But after all that's over and done with, the actual main pay-per-view kicked off. And the match that they decided to jerk the curtain with was Sheamus versus Dolph Ziggler. And Ziggler's on a mission to prove that he does belong, despite what Sheamus has been saying.
Is that that's what this whole feud's about? To prove that he belongs?
Yeah, pretty much, because, you know, Sheamus beaking off, you know, guys like Ziggler, Daniel Bryan, and those guys don't belong in the WWE. They're too small to be in the WWE. And yes, I know that's a horrendous fake accent.
Yeah, it's not one of your best.
I really don't care. I'm not putting any effort into it.
The sad thing is, it is just one like of his Mando. Best.
So
as this match is on the network right now in the replay, it wasn't a bad match. It was better than last month.
It was watchable. It was entertaining. It woke the crowd up, but didn't get them lathered up. But like you said, it was a better match than last month.
It was. They had better chemistry this time around.
Mm-hmm.
It still felt a little off, but.
And at one point in time in the match, Ziggler got the stink face in.
He did. He we got some side cheek.
So that'll make the Ziggler girls happy.
No, they want to see full ass, you know.
Well, they want to see full cheek, but, you know, they're not going to get anything more than side cheek, so, you know, that part of it was satisfied.
Quite possibly, but yeah, they got to that moment. I talked about that on Thursday, this spot would happen, and hey, it happened. Mm. The headbutt, though, the finish, ooh.
That was Ziggler launched that headbutt onto Sheamus. And so it's Ziggler's fault that he got cut for 7 stitches.
Yeah, he got busted open pretty good on that headbutt.
Yeah, I heard 10.
10?
Yeah. No, it was 7 stitches.
Okay.
Or was it 10 stitches? No, 7. 10. I don't know.
All I saw was a shit ton of blood.
There was a bit. There was quite a bit.
He Ric Flair'd that bitch.
That was my exact reaction.
But here's the thing. That was busted open hard way as opposed to Ric Flair and his blading.
That was the debate me and a friend had watching this. Was did he blade or was that the hard way? Because he immediately went to his forehead with his hand as soon as he did that. And I couldn't tell if it was blading or if he was just reacting. I got cut.
I think it was reacting. I don't think Ziggler could get away with doing that. If you're Brock, If you're Ziggler,
the thing about it right now, lately with WWE, is guys will get into a shitload of trouble if they get caught blading.
Yeah.
But the amount of stitches that he took, and, you know, like, talk to Mace about it because he's been in the ring. When you blade, you do not slice 2 inches from the bridge of your nose to the top of, you know, above your right eye.
Usually when the blading thing comes up, I look to see him toss a blade away, and I didn't see that.
Yeah. Mace?
Yeah, that would be what you do, but then again, I've never actually bladed.
Yeah. Have you ever worked a match for people where your opponent's bladed?
No, luckily.
Well, probably a good thing. A Crimson Mask match has always been a messy affair.
And to confirm, according to twitter.com/WWE, 10 stitches.
Okay, so 10 stitches confirmed. And, of course, yeah, the pictures are out all over social media, Twitter and Facebook, and you see Ziggler with his eyes closed and this great big, you know, it looks like a second, almost like a second eyebrow.
Yeah, that's hard way. And he hit a headbutt, super kick, it was a 2 count, and then Sheamus came back, hit the bro kick right to the head, which probably didn't help the cutter at all for the win.
And yeah, so Sheamus gets the victory on this one. Now, you know, watching this match, guys, do you agree with what people have been saying about Sheamus working a little bit too stiff ever since he's come back? Or is he just making it look like he is?
50-50. He's making it look like he's working a lot stiffer than he is, but at the same time, he's still working stiff.
No.
He has definitely changed his approach in the ring. You can, and which was needed if he was going to the heel direction. But yeah, he's working a little bit stiffer, and Daniel Bryan's a result of part of that stiffness.
Yeah, it's somewhat reminiscent a little bit of Japanese strong style in spots, not the entirety of his body of work since his return. But it's almost like you can see elements of Japanese strong style.
No, it's the I no longer give a fuck style, and I know I'm protected.
Yeah, that's another way to look at it.
Thank you, Hunter.
There you go. I don't think he's ever going to live that down.
Oh, no, I reckon that when they did the comeback for Sheamus, it was along the lines of Triple H going, okay, go out there, be as stiff as you want to be. Nobody's going to get angry at you.
And if they do, I'll deal with them.
Exactly. Because
make him job to the Miz.
because it's Triple H, and this is his new phrase.
Daddy's home.
From Monday Night Raw.
Oh, goody. All right, so yeah, there you go. Up next, Rollins in the back, I guess, wanted to put everything behind, between him and Kane, behind them. And says he doesn't need to watch Seth Rollins walk out as champion.
Yeah, pretty much.
This whole thing is, if I lose, then you're fired. And he's like, that's almost worth it. But I don't care. I don't need to be this guy. You need to be champion. Blah, blah, blah.
It's basically, hey, Kane, but Kane's being a dick. That's pretty much what it is. Kane's being a dick. And Seth Rollins is being an ass, and they're trying to get along.
No, Seth Rollins is being a little bitch.
Okay, he's being a little bitch. And
so you cheer for the dick.
You cheer for the dick, not the bitch.
That sounds... Never mind.
Anyway, not even going at...
Yeah, never mind. Don't even think about going there. Up next, we've got the 2 out of 3 tag... team championship match. I didn't know this was a 2 out of 3 falls initially.
If you blinked, you really didn't know it until they announced it, because it really wasn't put over hard on TV.
Not hardly hard at all. So
I believe the pay-per-view was the first time I'd heard it mentioned.
I've heard it.
They mentioned it on Raw, but it was in quick passing where it was like, hey, it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. They just didn't put over this dip that hard.
Well, not that Mace watches SmackDown, but didn't they make mention of it on SmackDown, too, for half a second?
Probably.
You're not sure, or you didn't watch SmackDown this week?
I did watch SmackDown, but
you
I don't...
Don't remember.
I just don't remember.
You were busy in the kitchen getting brownies when they announced it. Just go with it.
No, bakery cookies, get it right. And they were
delicious. Close enough.
They were delicious, by the way.
Whatever.
Fresh bakery cookies are awesome. Anyway.
There you go. Yeah, now this match was somewhat entertaining. Of course, the tag team title match, Cesaro and Kid taking on the champions New Day. And, hey, we talked about it. It's been teased. Tonight, I do believe, is the first time they mentioned the Freebird rule.
No, they've always been mentioning the Freebird rule.
Oh, well, then I just haven't been paying that much attention, because, after all, New Day sucks.
New Day does suck. Hell, there was one match where, I don't remember if it was this week on Raw or previous week, there was a 3-on-2 handicap match, and Booker T was so adamant about, it was 2 weeks ago, it's the Freebird rule. No, Booker, it's 3-on-2. There's no Freebird rule in a 3-on-2 handicap match.
No, because if all three of them are wrestling, then, yeah, it's not the rule.
It's not a Freebird rule, but he was going on and on. It's a Freebird rule. Like, no, Booker.
And this guy trains people.
He trains people. Sometimes Booker on commentary is very, very special.
Questionable. So Cesaro had a...
What do you mean by sometimes? Hold on. Sometimes Booker T is special on commentary? I think it's every time the goddamn man has opened his mouth since joining commentary team.
I was being nice. That's all, I was being nice.
Okay, we'll let you go with that. Cesaro had a nice spot here in this match, didn't he?
He had a few.
Yeah, he did the double stomp, hopping from one guy to the other. I thought that was pretty sweet. It was different.
And, of course, we also got the giant swing into the drop kick. Nobody's bitching or complaining about that move.
No, that's an awesome finish.
No, we need a name for it.
It still amazes me every time he plucks Big E out of the air for the power slam there.
That guy, pound for pound, is a very strong person for his size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put him up against Mark Henry. Let him just go in a strength test of strength or something and see who comes out on top.
Let's see who can bend the most frying pans in 5 minutes.
They were calling him the strongest man in WWE, so...
Is this sort of like portend the end of Mark Henry then?
So good the fact that he's barely been around this year, yes.
I think his 400-year contract is due to expire any minute now, we hope.
I think he has a couple years left, honestly. But he's a great pitch man. He's a great
There are some people that don't think Mark Henry needs to be around anymore.
No, he really, really doesn't. He'll just stop the progression of a lot of talent, like the Big Show is.
There you go. Yeah, so Cesaro and Kid are the winners of the first fall, so they're up 1-0. And that's when Xavier yells out Freebird Rule.
Yeah, he won it in the match. He won it in Freebird Rule, and no.
And they're like, no, you can't do that.
No.
But, definitely New Day taking over from here, starting off with Big E with a belly-to-belly on Kid on the outside of the ring after catching him diving through the ropes.
That was a nice spot.
The diver, the catch, or the belly-to-belly?
The whole combination of
it. The entire thing was pretty sweet to watch.
It really was. It was like, whoa, he caught him. Ooh, that was a nice throw.
Yeah. And, of course, now here's something, you know, like Cesaro getting speared through the ropes by Big E.
Good spot, though it's a common spot now with Big E.
It should be one of those things where, you know, you don't see it as often as you do see it.
Which, to his credit, he's backed off of it a little bit, but you know it's his spot.
And you know it's coming at some point in mm-hmm. time. Yeah. So. But, yeah. All in all, overall, it was a good match. At one point in time, they took out Cesaro. He's lying in a heap outside the ring across from the hard camera. And it was like Tyson Kidd just about almost single-handedly won this entire thing.
Almost.
But almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. So. Yeah. New Day winds up with the tying pinfall.
Yeah, with the big ending combo, which is just Big E doing the move and then Kofi sort of jumping down and landing on the dude, I guess. He was kind of late on his spot, part of it.
Uh-huh.
But the New Day gets the second fall.
So they're all tied, and finally Cesaro gets his act together, I guess you call it. Gets his uppercuts in on Kofi and from, you know, the corner to the corner. Press slams him into Big E.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those uppercuts are vicious, and then the one he did to Kofi, just that one solo uppercut, whew.
Just about knocked Kofi's head right into orbit.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, it was pretty vicious, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. But we had the springboard elbow backbreaker for a two count.
Mm-hmm. We had a sharpshooter attempt. Big E at one point got sent over the announce table.
Yeah.
And then there was a cool spot where Tyson Kidd was being flipped over the top rope, and he used Cesaro's back to stop him from landing, and he flipped back over. That was cool.
That was pretty cool.
That was different.
Yeah, I like that.
It was kind of cool. It was, you know, it was one of those little minor markers, like, whoa, did you see that? That was cool. Moments.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was fairly good. Yeah. But, Jesus, you know, Big E comes in, makes the slaves. Now, here's the thing.
Did you say slave or save?
Save.
Okay.
Makes the save. I'm chewing on a toothpick while I'm talking, so it might slur my words a little bit. But I said save, not slave. Okay. I would never say slave. That would be politically incorrect, motherfucker.
Why not? You can be like the referee at the end of this match.
Oh.
Anyway, continue.
I missed what the referee did at the end of the match now.
We're getting there.
Okay. Yeah. That's Big E making the save. Woods slides into the ring and rolls up Cesaro. There's your illegal Freebird rule.
Yeah, he gave him his small
package.
He's
supposed to do that.
No, he wasn't. But the ref didn't say it because, you know, as Mace put it, every black guy looks the same.
Now, who said that? All black men look alike.
Well, that was me who said it, and it was echoed very much online. The referee was racist.
Because you couldn't tell the difference between
Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston.
It was implied that he was racist. Didn't he, like, shrug his shoulders or something like that? After it was pointed out, that's not the right guy.
I believe so, yeah.
See, that part, that's racist.
I don't know if it's racist or just lazy. I don't know. I'm done for the night.
So go with both.
That's just the way Triple H booked it. I don't know. Oh, well. So, yeah, New Day retains their tag titles. And look at that. That's one pick 'em that I got correct. Yay.
Way to go, Tim. Way to go.
I got one right. Aha.
All right.
Up next. Hey?
I said, all right.
All right. Yeah, up next, Ryback has a little mini interview in the back where he says neither of worlds get eaten.
Feed him more. Feed him more. Oh, my God. Why is this match happening?
Yeah, there was at least one person, maybe two, that were getting all bitchy about, you know, Wyatt and Ryback. And not because they were thinking maybe it was a bad one, but because they don't want to see Bray in a fight against Ryback and possibly losing.
No, it's more of, why are these people fighting? It's been all over the internet. Why are these two people fighting? And no one has a logical reason to why they're fighting. But we have news on Ryback here for this, though.
Oh, there's news on Ryback afterwards?
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about
then
it.
We better get through it here. You know, people can bitch and complain. I enjoyed the match. I liked it. I didn't mind it.
I didn't give a shit about it, so I didn't really watch it, or at least pay attention to it.
It wasn't a total complete mountain of suck, but it...
Everybody was expecting that, and I don't know why. Why is it because of Ryback?
There were moments where Ryback looked really, really off in this match.
Well, yeah.
That's what people were worried about.
I looked up at the screen at one point and saw the most basic, you know, snapmare done by Bray on Ryback, and Ryback just sort of looked like he half lazily just sort of rolled over Bray's shoulder instead of actually looking snap. And I looked at that and I went, that's all I need to know about this match. It's going to be sloppy as shit.
And while it could be tightened up and it could be a better match, it also could have been a hell of a lot worse.
It could have been Big Show and Roman Reigns and some of their encounters.
Oh, jeez.
But this was sloppy at times. Very sloppy.
Well, here's the question. Is it sloppy because Ryback sucks, or is it sloppy because these guys haven't developed chemistry yet? Because this is literally the first big match they've really had against each other.
Little from column A, little from column B. Like, all right, so there's this one spot, and it's like, this is where we need Mace's opinion, because he's been in the ring. When a dude's jumping off the side of the ring, and you're trying to catch him when you're laying on your back... Don't you just put your arms out to catch them as they land on you?
Kind of.
To a degree, yeah.
You don't actually stick your elbows up like Ryback did?
Well, if you want to potato the guy.
Well, on that spot, Roman and
he potatoed Wyatt.
No. He hurt himself because that's where he suffered a broken rib, possibly.
And that's the news that we have on Ryback.
After yeah, he has a possible broken rib.
And that was probably the spot that did it.
The senton from the thing. But you watch him, and he just, like, instead of putting his arms out, like, to catch him, you know, catch him landing in, he, like, got his arm, stuck his elbows up. It's like, dude, that's not what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, well, Ryback is like the lesser talented Hulk Hogan. He can't wrestle. But unlike Hogan, he really isn't over like Hogan is. Or was.
No.
Yeah, really no. Hogan, but not the Huckster.
Even the Huckster was more over. Anyway, this was a decent match. It's nothing special. The finish was at least creative. Where he had him up in the shell shock, Bray pulled off the turnbuckle pad, shoved him in, hit Sister Abigail for the win. It was a decent finish.
Mm-hmm.
Still trying to figure out the purpose of it. That's another
because
thing.
Because they needed to put two people together to have a program, and they had Ryback and Wyatt hanging around.
That's pretty much the case at this point. Bray Wyatt needs a direction at this point a little bit.
Bray needed a win bad. So they put him up against the biggest guy that had nothing to do.
They fed him right back.
Pretty much. I wouldn't mind seeing like Bray Wyatt face a person like a Neville coming up. They could have good matches.
Why not just put him up against Bo Dallas and really send Lindsay into a tizzy?
That would actually be an interesting feud if they actually gave it a proper story. But
only if they gave Bo a proper gimmick. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it.
You don't believe?
I don't believe.
Sometimes his cheesy promos are pretty epic. He did one about Canada. And that was kind of awesome.
Missed it. Don't care.
I know. Oh, Tim.
There you go. Yeah. So, oh my goodness. We've been at this for, just about 35 minutes. It's 41 minutes past the hour, 19 minutes to the hour, depending on which way you want to look at it. Because this is a little bit of a different show that we do on pay-per-view nights, we only have one break for the evening. And I think we should take it right now.
It sounds like a good idea. And I think when we come back, while also getting to matches, we should talk about, you know, the elephant in the room, Daniel Bryan.
There's an elephant in the room.
His name is Daniel Bryan, and his future...
Well, we can have an interim discussion about Daniel.
Might be a good idea.
All right, everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You don't ask me coming for you. You want war, we got war. We just want to warn you. War for war, bodies that hit the ground. You ready for us, because it's about to go down. Push him to the left, push him to the right, load the choppers up, hit him on sight, never turning back, I'd have been in hell and back, me running out of guns, no, never heard of that, I ain't never ran from a gunfight, this is you and me, mano y mano, you damn right, don't act like you don't know.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha!
that he might have himself some cigs.
I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather Extreme dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know, I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now, goddammit. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway for this.
They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of
Camel Light? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go.
Because
I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
man, somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. It is. All right, I'll just smoke my cigarette and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... About to get wild by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight. We're as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, The Rock lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now, when you experience The Rock. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Stock Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And, of course, naturally, we're right in the middle of reviewing Payback, WWE's latest pay-per-view offering on the WWE Network for only $9.95 a month.
$9.99.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
$9.99. They make sure you know it's $9.99.
How much is it?
$9.99.
Now, is that every month?
For new subscribers, it's free sometimes.
Oh, so do I have to, like, make a six-month commitment?
No commitment needed.
Oh, wow. What a deal.
I know, right?
I can cancel at any time?
You could.
But then if I wanted the pay-per-views, I'd have to pay $50 a month.
And who really wants to pay $50 a month for pay-per-view?
Well, here it is. Don't be stupid, people. Get the WWE Network. You know what? Those bastards ought to pay us. We give them great booking ideas, which they take, obviously, and then we plug the shit out of the WWE Network.
I know, right?
I know.
Speaking of the WWE Network, on June 1st, there's going to be a cool interview. Steve Austin interviews Paul Heyman.
Definitely not missing that.
That one's going to be good.
I mean, that's going to be right up there with Vince McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
It'll probably outdo Vince McMahon.
Because Paul Heyman doesn't care.
Suplex City, bitch. It's just the way he enunciates it. As my client, Brock Lesnar, says.
To give you what you want.
Suplex City, bitch.
That just deserves accolades. Speaking of accolades, we saw an accolade tonight.
Yeah, we did, and a lot more, too, than just an accolade.
And that's, of course, the WWE U.S. title I quit match, John Cena versus Rusev, which is the next match on the card. But you want to address an elephant in the room. Shall we get you a really big pencil?
You could.
Okay, there you go. Address.
Right. I wanted everyone's opinion because you guys haven't had a chance to talk about it. Daniel Bryan gave up the Intercontinental Championship on Monday Night Raw. And he could be back in a few weeks, a few months, maybe never. What do you think? What's the future hold for Daniel Bryan?
Hopefully a swift retirement.
This is something totally different from last time around. Let's face it. Last time around, he was injured. We had it all realized he was going to be gone for a while, expecting him to heal up, get back to wrestling. But the problem is, he got re-injured so quickly after returning that, I mean, he's just almost a case of he's facing the same fate that Edge faced when Edge was forced to retire. Before his time.
You said it's different than last time. No, last time he was given a 6 to 8 week prognosis.
Yeah.
And 7 months later, hey, he's back in the ring. So this time they're giving no definite timetable, if any.
Yeah. Now, the it's different in that sense. But the reason why I'm saying it's a different situation, the fan expectation. Last time, it's like everybody was, oh, Daniel, please hurry up and get better so you can come back. Now, I am seeing more and more on Twitter and Facebook and on the forums boards and, on column posting and all that other stuff everywhere. Like, Daniel, for the sake of your health, don't come back.
You wonder if it was a mistake not getting the second surgery.
I'm thinking at this point it was. I don't know what Omega Mace think about that.
I know in the WWE, especially when you're in a top position like Brian was in, there was always a pressure to get back as fast as you can before that spot goes to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I know Daniel Bryan loves being in that ring. He loves to perform. But there's just some things you don't take a chance on. Like, if the second surgery would have been a more certain solution than just some rehabilitation that no one had proven or attempted before.
The holistic approach.
You can't do that. So it's going to sideline you an extra 3 or 4 months. Whatever. If that's what it takes to get 100%, you get 100%. Not good enough. Perfect. Or at least as close as to perfect as a professional wrestler can get.
No. You know, that's the one athlete who, after he's, you know, been working for a few years, who's pretty much performing never at 100% would be a professional wrestler.
This is true, but you try to get as close to healthy as possible, even if you're not technically 100%, because once you take your first bump, you're not 100% anymore after that. But it's one of those cases where it's like he has such a big future ahead of him. He had his big moment, and it's a shame that it came all crashing down to him. And, you know, people are allowed to have their opinions on how they handle their body. It's their body. They're allowed to do whatever they want with it. But he was clearly saying on Total Divas and everything, he doesn't, you know, believe in the surgeries because he believes it's only a temporary fix.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently the holistic approach was a really temporary fix.
Mm. Supremely temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't help that he went out and wrestled the same style that probably prolonged his injuries in the first place.
Exacerbated them for sure. I'm positive they did. Yeah. You look at Kurt Angle when he decided not to go for a second surgery and he went for the, you know, you guys are calling it the holistic approach. How long was he out before he returned to the ring? That was like a year and a half.
No, Kurt actually went under. Kurt's had surgeries, but he never had the fusion surgery.
Was one option. He avoided it, and he spent an extended amount of – my point is he spent an extended amount of time out of the ring playing manager on SmackDown.
He was playing
instead.
He was doing Band-Aids instead of the full part. He wasn't doing heelistic. That was the only thing I was trying to clear up. He had surgeries, but it wasn't the heelistic approach where, no, you know, just rehab. He went to a doctor in Pittsburgh, and he would go in, clean up his neck, and go, hey, you're good as new, or – as close as new as you could be without doing the whole fusion thing.
And without doing all of that, yeah.
He's had neck problems ever since, and, you know. He's the TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
So. Right. But, yeah, right now at this point in time, Heartbreak Mike is saying it in the chat room, and good to see you again, Heartbreak Mike. It's been too long. Glad that you're back, by the way. Daniel, like last time when he gave up the WWE World Heavyweight title, that was all done sort of like in a storyline way. This time he came in and said, look, this thing needs to be defended. I'm sorry, guys. I can't go. Let somebody else defend it. And, you know, that was definitely, I think, the way to go.
Yeah, you didn't want to repeat history on that one.
Definitely not.
Especially in this case where it's even less certain if he'll ever be able to return or not.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what's really interesting, it's basically 1 year ago to this point.
Yeah.
Like June 1st was Payback. They did the whole Brie Bella quitting thing, and then like a week after, they stripped the belt of him because they knew he wasn't going to make Money in the Bank. So it's been almost like a year he gave up the belt the first time. So, yeah, it's very fitting.
Yeah, it was June 9th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 8 days after, because they were the next time around, they're like, yeah, the WWE title will be on the line if Daniel Bryan can defend it in the Money in the Bank. And, well, he couldn't, so it was just for the belt, making a new champion. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, my hope and wish for Daniel Bryan is for him to get back to as close to healthy as he can. If he gets to the point where he can come back and wrestle, fine. But I'd rather see him, you know, being able to eventually, if that's the course they want to take down the road, have kids with Brie and be able to actually pick up the kids.
Yeah. Right, and they're finding non-wrestling roles for him, which is why he's part of the new Tough Enough, which debuts on USA Network on June 23rd. He's going to be a judge on that show. So at least they're keeping him around this time, because I think being...
Well, they need to. He's got DVDs and stuff coming out.
DVDs, books, mm-hmm. everything. But it's like, at least they're giving him something to do this time around, where he's not just sitting at home driving himself nuts. Because you could see it was... weighing on him on Monday night. You could see this decision's been rough on him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you follow him on Instagram, he gardens. You don't really... You look at Daniel Bryan and go, he gardens? Really? Okay. I found this pretty flower. It's like, okay, that's Daniel Bryan, 2015.
You are desperate to find ways of spending your time.
There's nothing wrong with gardening.
No, no, if he was desperate enough to... need something to fill his time, he would have taken a photograph of himself watching TNA.
Wait, nobody has that much free time.
Wait, people are watching the show?
Until September.
Until September. Hey, there's an out clause. I just like to go off on a tangent really quick. Dixie Carter was telling the talent, don't believe the ratings. They're better than what they are or being reported as. We here at TNA, we get the ratings personally, and they're so much better than what's being reported. Because the plus 3 and the plus 7 DVR ratings totally boost up our rating.
Oh, yeah.
Because if it was so boosting up your rating, I think people would talk about it.
Basically stated, to all talent, whenever you hear something bad about TNA, put your fingers in your ears and go la 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 till it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So,
just quickly on Daniel Bryan, like Tim said, you know, he's got to think about his health in the long term. And if I'll be honest, he tried the holistic way, just doing rehab and everything. Sorry, dude, get some cold hard science. Go and get somebody to turn you into Robot Man or something.
Mm.
He can be the new Mega Man.
There you go. Man.
All right, we have a chat room question. They want our opinion on something. With Bryan gone, who do you think will step up in his place? Someone from NXT? If yes, who?
Well, I think they've already got somebody to fill his shoes, and we saw him in a match tonight.
You talking about Neville?
Yeah.
he's the more muscle Daniel Bryan. If you look at it.
Basically, I mean, he's small like Daniel Bryan. He's got the quick moves and the, all of the, you know, the training.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same training, but a lot of similar training. You can see it. And like you said, he's just a more muscular version right now.
He really is.
Yeah.
And he's getting the crowd pops.
He's not the indie darling that Daniel Bryan was, though. Like, that's one of the reasons he had such good reactions from the crowd, is everyone knew him as the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, I mean, look how long he spent on the indie scene in Japan and Ring of Honor and all, everywhere else, basically building that name. And, of course, he was very notorious for not giving interviews, but we scored one with him.
Would you like to bring up?
If you got the reason to brag, then brag.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
If I'm gonna pick a replacement, it's probably gonna be somewhere closer to Sami Zayn, who kind of works a similar style, has the same kind of indie darling feel to him, and is already injury prone.
I was about to say, and apparently he's just as injury prone. We've been hanging out with each other way too long, for too many years.
I was saying that a month in.
So. Not in a bad way, of course, but anyway.
So, honestly, like the whole honestly, I really feel like if Daniel had gone back to that indie style, the American Dragon, the submissionist, mm-hmm. rather than just the daredevil that he became in WWE, then he probably still be around right now.
Yeah. Probably, and just to throw it in there.
This is Brian Danielson, the ROH World Champion and best wrestler in the world. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
There's proof. Thank you very much for proving it.
And then as soon as he hung up, he broke his ear.
Yeah, he sprained it. He actually sprained his ear answering the phone. Because back then, there weren't smartphones. There were just flip phones.
Maybe that's why he didn't do interviews like that. He has to hold up a phone to his ear for that long.
Hold on. Heartbreak Mike brings up this in chat room. WWE has watered down the indie stars.
No. They don't water them down. They force them to change their styles around. Some things that you do on the indie scene just will not work on TV, on the big stage. And if you want proof, just look at Rose. Look at Rose.
Yeah.
That was a great indie gimmick, but it didn't work on the main stage.
No. Had a point to go with that.
He gives an example of Steam, no more package pile driver. It's called being safe.
Yeah. That's a little risky.
You know, they want their talent to be safe.
There's also a certain way they book talent so that they only have a set number of like big moves that you see in every match they put on. It's one reason why a lot of matches end up feeling the same.
Every match builds to a flip dive out of the ring.
And at the same time, an indie match, you can put on six matches over 2.5 hours. And when you stop and you think about it, six matches, 2.5 hours. Roughly, how much time per match does that give you? You can do more. TV, you're constrained because it's TV. You've got to get certain things in. You've got a certain amount of time to get your shit done. And certain matches get more of a look-see than other matches. So, as a result, yeah, they don't water down the indie stars. They change them around for different reasons.
They make them more all-around performers, if that makes sense.
Let's put it this way. They turn them into performers that can work 3 or 4 times a week as opposed to just whenever the next show is.
Once a month for a lot of indie shows.
They take them from being wrestlers to being sports entertainers.
Very eloquently put, Mace.
And speaking of sports entertainers, it's the U.S. title match.
Yeah, with John Cena defending against Rusev for the third and final time. They call it the rubber match. Everybody's thinking, well, it's a Cena and Rusev match. You know, what can we bloody expect? Blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, are you crazy? Look at the matches they've had recently.
Tim,
look
at all of this stuff. To correct you, it's the fourth time.
Oh, the fourth time. But the third time, but the fourth time.
I will say this
was excellent.
I will say this is better than the last two matches they've had.
It was a great match. I was thoroughly entertained by a John Cena match. Mace, this has got to stick in your throat.
Not really, because I've been saying that these two have had fantastic chemistry for months.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been enjoying the work that they've had together.
Yep.
And the fact that you've now upped it to an I Quit match, where it's like, I'm going to beat the absolute living shit out of you, try to kill you, ram you through walls, throw you through fireworks, and every other thing on the planet, just to make you say I quit, and yet you're still speaking fucking Russian.
Or Bulgarian.
Shit.
Bulgarian.
Whatever.
Bulgarian, Russian, whatever.
It all sounds alike to the ref.
It all sounds like Sputnik to me.
There you go.
The only issue I have with this match is the referee asking so many times.
That got on my nerves so much.
It's like,
Do you quit? No. Okay, get up then.
Let's play a drinking game. Referee asked, does he quit? Take a shot.
No, you're dead.
Yeah, I was.
You're
I
dead
was a
two
little,
minutes in.
I was a little buzzed within 5 minutes, you know, playing the do you quit drinking game.
I hate John Cena I quit matches in the first place because you, like, you know, Rusev will Irish whip him into the big set of steel steps propped up in the corner. Mm-hmm. You know, Cena crashes off of it like a fly on a windshield, crumples to the mat, and the ref goes, do you want to quit? John Cena will go, no. Wow, and how many movies did WWE put you in?
Yeah, no kidding. That's one thing that bugs me about John Cena. I mean, at least Rusev would breathe heavy and look like it was an effort to answer yet or whatever he said, Gary. But John Cena
is
like, gets the shit kicked out of him. Do you quit? No!
Yeah. The irony is there's nobody in the ring you hear talk more often than John Cena.
Yeah.
Like, any time I hear a spot called, it's probably during one of his matches.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cena does have his own section of you talk too much on WrestleMania videos.
Yep.
Now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he does.
By the way, shout out to the Botchamania guys. Apparently, they got into Sports Illustrated.
Hey, congratulations, wow. Botchamania dudes.
Mm-hmm. Either the actual magazine or their website, but they're featured. So,
Mace, did you see the new one?
275.
I had to click the website link, which is in my little quick bar, because of course it is. Yeah.
Then yes, I have seen it.
Best unbreakable table segment ever?
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, I think the main event tonight has honorable
back to topic.
For best unbreakable table segment. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Oh,
but,
no, this was amazing. This was amazing. This was like two indie guys who were trying forever to break the same table. They must have hit it with... Yeah, they must have slammed each other onto it like 12 times. Suplexes, power bombs, mm-hmm. could not break this thing. When you watch it on Botchamania, every time someone hits the table and the table refuses to break, a different cartoon theme song starts playing. Like you're hitting the button on a playlist.
And it went through like all sorts of stuff. Transformers, Thundercats, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mask. Basically anything 80s, it played.
Yeah.
And, like, with that table spot, though, at one point, they're doing German suplexes into it. It was, like, seven in a row. By the time they got to the fourth, the guy that was taking the German every time, you could see him going, no, no more, no more, no more, mommy, no more.
You gotta wonder how many guys go through things like that in the indie circuit and go, oh, fuck, this is gonna end up on Botchamania. This whole segment is gonna be half, I'm gonna be half an episode.
But anyway, John Cena and Rusev destroying each other.
Absolutely entertaining match. I got my money's worth with this match alone. I was very pleased with it. These two, like you said, Mace, they've been showing some great chemistry over the last month, I guess, maybe longer. They sure definitely made it entertaining. But anybody with one eye could have called the outcome.
Oh, yeah, indeed. But at the same time, you know, you weren't really caring about the outcome. You were just enjoying the carnage.
Yeah.
Like, to see Rusev take the AA into the pile of boxes behind the screen with fireworks around it.
Yeah, that was a sweet
spot. The fireworks guy needs to be fired, by the way. He timed them wrong.
Yeah. What was really...
There's something that you go, holy shit, he went through electrical equipment, kind of.
Yeah. Well, you know, what was really kind of fun to see before that is, like, when Rusev went out there, like, leading up to the spot, and he grabbed the cable... And he yanked on the cable and he set off one of the fireworks. And his look on his face is, oh, wow.
Yeah, there should have been a light bulb over his head.
That look on his face is like a kid on Christmas morning discovering he got the BMX bicycle that he's been wanting. He had that look on his face. That cracked me up. It did. Like, all right, something good's about to happen. That's just what flashed through my brain. It's like telegraphing the upcoming spot.
I was expecting something like what Matt Hardy did to Jeff. It was like absolutely blow him up on the ring. And what I got was a spot straight out of Wrestling Society X.
I miss Wrestling Society X. Yeah, I couldn't say that and expect to get away with it. So, but yeah, talking about the finish and the accolade, which we brought up a long time ago. John Cena gets put into the accolade, passes out. Rusev is all pissed off because he didn't win the match. He didn't win the match because John Cena wasn't able to say I quit because John Cena was passed out.
Which makes sense. You know, guy can't say I quit. Yeah. If he's passed out, wake him the fuck up.
Yep, though, which is exactly what Rusev did with 500 milliliters of bottled spring water.
Though we have had submission matches end on knockout.
Yeah, but that's submission matches. It's not an I quit match. Different rule set.
Yeah, there's a completely different rule set.
God, that's so bad, though, because it sounds like the same match.
Yeah, I know. It is like, practically the same fucking match.
I hate that. It's like, well, we changed the name, so there's like one change to the rules.
One thing like different. That's all it is.
Difference between No Holds Barred and Street Fight.
Yeah. But boy, he sure woke up real quick with water, just the tiniest little bit of water hitting the back of his, like, well, his back.
Yeah.
Yeah, the back of his back. Yeah. Back. I was going to say back of his neck, but it was a little bit more under the shoulder blades. And it was just a drop. But it woke him up. LeMans is saying like he got electrocuted.
It did.
It could have been really cold water, for all you know.
Well, yeah, it could have, but I doubt it because it was sitting in the arena for 3 hours.
But no, they put.
You can ask Sheamus; he had a swig of it earlier.
No, they have a whole thing of a tub with ice when the water. You know.
Forget it, Rock. Never mind.
I know. I'm just pointing it out. I know. I'm killing your fun.
Well, you're like the kid in class who reminds the teacher on Friday that she hasn't given us our homework assignment for the weekend yet.
Anyway,
you're a killjoy.
Anyway,
Rusev gets put into the STF with the ring rope. Now, what the hell? Rusev taking the ring rope off was something different. And he tried to use it, but Cena winds up putting it to good use and basically rakes Rusev's eyes with it while he's in the STF.
I've seen that spot before.
It's a Cena spot.
Yeah.
Cena versus Umaga, Royal Rumble 2007.
Okay.
Well, it's been 8 years, so they can go back to the spot.
Oh, it works on big foreigners.
Apparently, it's a big foreigner kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But Rusev and the STF starts yapping in Belarusian.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, Belarusian, because he's Bulgarian, whatever. And speaking Bulgarian, and everybody thinks he's Russian, so what the hell.
He's racist. He's Bulgarian, but he lives in Russia.
Now residing in Moscow.
Yeah.
Now residing in Moscow. So, yeah, and he starts just yabbing away, and Lana's saying, he says he quits! I don't think so. That doesn't sound Bulgarian or even Russian for I quit, bitch.
It sounds like he's reciting The Great Gatsby.
Mm-hmm.
All right, somebody on this panel actually Googled I quit in Bulgarian, okay? That's how we know.
Yeah, I went ahead and did that.
When you popped that up, I just started laughing. And I'm like, are you serious? Did you actually really do that?
I was already searching it when Rock asked, so it was like, I already had the answer right there.
It was like boom, literally.
Just for a second. Does Omega know Bulgarian?
Well, I thought, like, how do you know that? Okay, Google's your friend.
Omega, to back you up, that is exactly what I said, because I was talking to Lindsay. I said, does he really know Bulgarian?
And then Lindsay gives us the Russian version of I quit to mm-hmm. prove that it's not the same damn thing. And he wasn't speaking Russian or Bulgarian, or at least he wasn't saying I quit in Russian or Bulgarian. You guys are just, like, awesome. Seriously, you know, like, what other webcast on the interwebs would actually research to find out if you were saying I quit?
We care. We care.
You see the extra mile that we go to for our listeners?
See, I have fans in Russia. Like, I could have, like, if we had a day, I could have gotten a full translation.
Next week on the show, Maggie gets the
no,
full
let's not put that to the test.
Hey, I was giving you a week. Don't talk fake unless you can back it up.
Right? You want it out. I was giving you a week.
No.
Does anybody remember what he was saying?
Gibberish.
I'm not talking about blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, to me, because I don't speak Bulgarian or whatever, it was gibberish. How do you be a tab in the
The one thing I want to bring up from the match is that they pulled out the, as they called it, the old school barricade that just conveniently was
that's
there.
That's what the railings they use underneath the padding around the ring.
No, it's not.
But that, you know, kudos to John Cena for taking that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. I mean, those things are, they may be hollow, but they're solid. And he bent like a mother.
Yeah, that was like it hurt. He's going to feel that tomorrow.
Definitely. So, yeah, thanks to Lana, John Cena retains the U.S. title. And this is the last time we're going to see Rusev challenge for the U.S. title as long as John Cena holds it.
Hopefully, and we don't need to see any more videos of John Cena sitting on the toilet with Nikki Bella singing.
What?
Oh, you haven't seen it.
What the hell do you...
What?
Oh, okay. Hold on.
No.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Rock.
Keep talking. I'm going to go find it for you guys.
Oh,
keep talking.
Jesus Christ.
No, we don't need to see it.
Someone
really,
needs to block Rock from Instagram.
It's on Instagram, but it came from Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, she took it down. You're saying she took it down.
Yay! Yeah, leave that shit for Saturday night, Rock.
No,
CB
she,
Radio.
She was doing what? Let It Go. She was lip-syncing Let It Go as John Cena was sitting on the toilet. There you go.
I don't want to see the funny thing.
Was he just, like, sitting on the toilet, or was, like, the U.S. title precariously placed to block view of what he was doing on the toilet?
There you go. There's the video.
Yeah, he's not going to tell you. He's going to make you look at the video to see.
I hate you.
As they say, I can't be fucked.
As Mace finds the video, well done, Mace.
Traitor.
Hey, I knew somebody else would have a copy of it.
It's the internet. It never goes away.
And it's also in GIF form all over the internet, too.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, joy. Very similar. Very similar. So the New Day is toasting their success with Milk and in the back, and now they're upset because they got to defend their tag titles in the Elimination Chamber on May 31st, kids.
Which should be cool.
Sunday night.
Which would be cool that they're actually putting the tag belts in there. See how they do it.
Yeah. Well, I think they kind of confirmed they are all going to get crammed into the same pod.
Yeah, Big E saying, hold on, we all weren't fit in the one pod. What the hell are you doing? I'm like, oh, thank God they acknowledged that.
Yeah, that may have been just a swerve. They might do something different. And, you know, if it's just the two tag teams, then everybody gets their own pod.
No, they may do six tag teams and put them all in there.
Oh, God, yeah, those three won't fit in one.
Or think about Eric and Luke in one pod.
Oh, no.
Well, I was going to think, well, that eliminates Big E from the match because he's not going to fit in the pod with someone else in there. It's got to be close.
I'm sorry. I don't know why my mind went here, but I'm just thankful they didn't think this up when Billy and Chuck were characters in the WWE.
Oh, jeez. Really?
I apologized before I brought it up.
He went there. But again, Omega, Big E could actually start out with the New Day. You know, that way Big E's in the match.
Okay, true. That ruins the gag, but true.
Well, I'm just playing up the role. I'm Killjoy, you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
Killjoy. You, George.
I'm more amazed that WWE has six tag teams for this plan.
Let's name six tag teams.
Well, here's the thing. last time I tried, I found a surplus.
Yeah, there actually is.
Because you've got New Day, you've got Kid and Cesaro, but you have Los Matadores, the Lucha Dragons, you have our reunited Wyatt Kids.
Right.
You've got the primetime players.
Right. Cesaro and Kid.
We've already counted them.
But they're good enough for two teams.
The Ascension.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Ascension.
And the Mega Powers?
Meta powers,
they keep changing their
mind. Meta powers?
I really hope that's a one-time thing, because it really bombed.
Now, here's a conundrum. Normally, pay-per-view nights, we go on at 11 o'clock Eastern as opposed to 10 o'clock Eastern. Are we going on live during this WWE Network-only pay-per-view?
We're going to treat it like an actual pay-per-view. We'll start at 11 o'clock.
We're going to watch it and then do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so programming alert, everybody. That I brought that up just so you know we could play it out, so you know how we're going to do things on May 31st.
Yeah, it's a network special, 3 hours long. We're gonna go live.
Oh, it's an actual 3 hour long. Okay, I didn't know they were gonna. I thought they were just gonna do a 2 hour show.
Yeah, and the build up for it's gonna be great for 2 weeks.
Hey, if it's a 2 hour show, we'll be on at 10, but I think it's gonna be 3 hours. We'll see.
Well, from everything, it sounds like it's going to be a standard length pay-per-view, 2 hours, 45 minutes long.
Yeah, I don't think you could put anything – well, it's not a pay-per-view. It's a network exclusive.
Well, network exclusive, yeah.
But even then, I don't think you could put it on if it's going to be shorter than Raw.
They could go 5 hours if they want.
Oh, that'd be interesting. So, yeah. Anyway, back to Payback. Up next, we got the Bella Twins taking on Tamina and Naomi. And then last week, if I remember correctly, we were debating, is this going to be a Divas title with Nikki versus Naomi, or is this going to be a tag team? Turned out to be the tag team. And I do believe that we all had Nikki retains the title, but Tamina and Naomi would win the tag match.
Because now it will build to, you know, Naomi as the number one contender since she beat Nikki Bella in this match.
And, yes, she is the one who did get the pin. God, did Tamina even get into the ring at all tonight?
She kicked a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't notice her tag in, though.
Think she was in there to start?
No, because I remember light-up shoes.
Yep, and they were one was blue and the other was red.
Eventually, we're both red.
And then it was
and
orange.
And then she fell, and they both went red, and then one went green.
And orange, and purple.
You could have bets on what color her shoes are going to be at the end of the match.
There's your next drinking game. Guess the next color up. If you're wrong, take a shot.
No, every time her shoes change, take a shot.
Well, you could do that. That's the speed game, if you want to get super drunk fast. But guess the color if you're wrong, drink. That's, you know, it's like playing Trivial Pursuit two different ways.
That'd be like playing the I Quit drinking game this time around, Tim. Every time you're wrong, you drink. Seriously, you'd be drunk after 5 minutes.
Yep.
and King Ken, yes, it means picks, and we're not using that as a tiebreaker.
No, that's not a tiebreaker.
But we are doing picks for that one.
Yeah, we'll do pick 'em. Why not?
Yeah.
Who knows? We may have a WWE car flag to give away to the winner of Pick'em for that. You never know.
Tim's offering up prizes. Okay.
I said maybe.
Caveat. Maybe.
That's a hell of a caveat. Maybe.
Maybe.
There you go. Yeah. So, like we were saying, Naomi and Tamina win. They did everything they could to make Naomi look like she actually could be the number one contender for the Divas title.
This was a solid match. Nothing wrong with it.
So, you know, I can't complain. I have to admit, begrudgingly, because I'm not a fan, but the Bellas are getting much better.
This was very passable. Nothing. There wasn't anything wrong with it. It was a match. It was good. It's fine for it.
Yeah. Divas match. There you go.
You know, it was a standard Divas match, and they had, you know, they got, what, 5-7 minutes, something like that? Nothing out of
I don't really have anything to talk about with this match. It was a Divas match. It didn't suck. And the bad guys won. Or the bad girls.
Bad girls won.
Yeah. Oh, I like bad girls. Anyway, never mind.
Speaking of, I mean, this is a pay-per-view for the bad guys, if you're paying attention.
Yeah, like, so far, the only babyface that wins a match is John Cena to this point.
To this point, yeah.
Wow. And yet, nobody's bitching and complaining about it being a shitty pay-per-view. I have not seen any super negativity online yet.
Just because it's heel-centric doesn't make it bad.
No, but I do remember heel-centric pay-per-views where everybody's bitching and crying about it. So,
It depends on the quality of the match. I mean, you either need to have really, really solid work in the ring, or you need some kind of payoff. You need the fan, you know, what sends you home happy.
Yeah, and what sends you home happy happens in the main event. We'll get to that. It's coming up right after our next match, Neville versus King Barrett.
I thought this match was sloppy.
It was. Neville looked like he legitimately hurt his knee. Now, I don't know if he legitimately hurt his knee or if they were just, you know, selling that as a fake injury, but it wasn't the type of setup where, oh, he got hurt so he loses, which is what they, you know, have a penchant for doing.
Yeah, I don't think his knee was hurt. I think this became a case of Neville's first pay-per-view. Little nerves kicking in. Probably got their time cut a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're trying to go through every spot, and, you know, he's trying to remember every spot and sort of got caught up. Yeah. It caught up to him. It was just it was very sloppy.
Yeah. For a Neville match and a Barrett match, it was sloppy, but I will put it down to exactly what you're saying. They got pressed for time. His first pay-per-view, it's a bigger stage than working Raw. Even though the match may have been shortened, it's still, you know, more of a spotlight on him because it's a pay-per-view. You know, he gets on Raw or SmackDown.
It might just generally be like a mishmash in styles too.
But they've had really good matches though. That's the thing. Especially last month on the pre-show, they had a really good match. They came out, you know. I mean, they recovered from some of the sloppiness, but you can just see there was a little bit in this one.
Yeah. And well, I'm sure we'll see these two clash again, and it'll be a tighter match. I'm not going to bitch and complain about these guys and the fact that there was a little bit of sloppiness to it, just because it gave me that feeling like you were bringing it up, you know, all of these X factors.
Mm-hmm. You could tell it was late. They got put in the position, they're right before the main event. The main event needs a lot of time. Probably things went long throughout the rest of the show.
Yeah.
You know, they probably were told, hey, you got 15 minutes. Oh, now you got 7.
Like, you could tell it's starting to get up to crunch time here, just looking at the clock in the middle of the match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, geez, they're going long. They're going to have to shorten the match up a bit.
Yeah, because I was going through the card, I was like, how many matches are left? Oh, we have the Divas, Barrett, and the main event. It's like,
That's a lot, yeah.
Oh, that's
somebody's getting sacrificed.
Yeah, and the Divas got their standard time, so it's like, you want more time for Neville and Barrett. It just wasn't there tonight.
Yeah.
Not their fault. It's just the way things shook out.
But sloppy as it was, we still got the Neville spots, and surprise, surprise, Neville won.
Via count out.
Yeah, it was a count out, but he still won. I'm getting the feeling that that was not the way the finish was supposed to go.
No, I think it was, because I have a feeling they're going to be in the chamber in 2 weeks for the Intercontinental Championship. So it's each guy got, you know, some spots in after the match, and
yeah, and then we got the Red Arrow.
Mm-hmm, the Red Arrow to finish it off.
And it's like, if you're watching a Neville match, you better get the damn Red Arrow, and that's all there is to it, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
So, we got the Red Arrow, and that was all fine and dandy. But, yeah. And so, okay, show us what you can do next month, guys.
Imagine him doing the Red Arrow off the top of Chamber Pod.
Oh, he'll crush his larynx.
That's the kind of stuff I always like really freak out about.
Like Rob Van Dam almost killing Triple H.
Well, that's a frog splash. It worries me when it's something like the Red Arrow, where the timing of the move, and getting the spins and the angle correct.
Yeah, he's not going to have enough height.
Well, there's that, because the ceiling's going to be right above him.
Yep.
But there's also the hitting the landing. You know, there's no way to really adjust once you put that momentum into the jump, and once you commit to that spin, it's just that's where you land, and it's just lucky he knows how to land. You know, he knows how to time it so that he lands on his stomach from the top turnbuckle.
Now,
but much higher up, not so much.
Yeah. Now, when you watch Red Arrow, and you see that he launches himself way the hell up there to get the rotation and the spin and everything in before he actually comes down on his opponent. Might we see something different off the top rope to compensate? Like, would he be able to do a modified 450?
Could be.
A modified 450 like Juventud Herrera once tried and end up landing on his head.
Mm. Well,
yep, you're talking about Juventud Herrera.
It's Juventud Herrera. No.
Juvi juice,
oh god.
Yeah, that's what he was on, that's for sure.
Yeah, no shit. So, I don't know. We'll have to see, I guess.
Main event time.
It is the main event time. Right before the main event, we got the final stare down with Kane and Rollins, and then Kane breaks it with a great big grin. Says, good luck out there.
Yeah. He was like, Kane, you're being such a dick. It's tremendous.
It's awesome. So, I love this match.
out of the interactions between Rollins and Kane tonight, I think the one that really got me going was the earlier one, where it's like, okay, Kane, you better choose your side, you know, or bad things can happen. And J&J security steps in between them, and Kane just looks at him going, what the fuck are you idiots doing?
Like, they've got more heart than brains, J&J. Let's face it.
Jamie Noble is the MVP, just saying. Every time you give him a microphone, it is funny. It is gold.
He's got a good sense of humor, that boy.
Him trying to talk to Triple H on Monday night about Seth Rollins being the man.
He got in Triple H, and I was watching that. Like, are you that dumb?
Yeah, he is.
First off, look at you, look at Triple H. Secondly, look at you, look at Triple H. Thirdly, he's your boss, you numbnuts.
Right.
And you're not Steve Austin.
No.
Not even close.
So. I just like how just about everybody looks at him and goes, can somebody get these children out of the way, please? Right. We're trying to do something.
Just flashing back to Kurt Angle calling Rey Mysterio an 8-year-old kid.
So let's talk about this 7-way match.
This was fun. I loved this match. Just so many different things in it that happened that just like, markup moment.
This was great. Right from the start, it was awesome.
This was chaos.
Yeah, we actually saw the Shield reunite for a grand total of 10 seconds.
but the crowd
ate it up.
It was awesome. They did the triple powerbomb on Randy Orton. They hit it. And then the spot was awesome, but the reaction from Seth Rollins afterwards, he puts
puts his arms around each guy, and then he puts his hand out for the triple fist bump, they're just staring at him like, nope.
It's like, guys, come on, the fist thing, remember it, you remember? And they're like,
at Dean, and Dean's just laughing his ass off, and then just goes dead serious.
No, we're not doing the fist, we're going to put our fist in your face.
Yep. And it's just it was the slow realization from Rollins of he's about to get his ass kicked, which was absolutely hilarious because it's like, guys,
come on, fast.
Guys.
That was almost a Looney Tunes moment. Yeah, that was almost a Looney Tunes moment. It really was.
Yeah, that was Wile E. Coyote getting out the umbrella to take down the boulder.
Yep. And then when he drops and his arm and the umbrella stay up for 3 seconds, and then he holds up the sign, help. And then then he hits the ground. Oh, fuck. Another spot that was really sweet. After they put Randy Orton through the table and they take out Seth Rollins, they do the double power bomb on Kane.
Twice. Because the first time
that the table didn't break. But they sold it great because the crowd's going, one more time, one more time. They're like, yeah, what the fuck? It's just the look on their face.
Speaking of looks on their face, Kane's look on his face the second time is like, oh, God, I got to do this again?
Yeah, but you could hear the two of them talking before they lifted him up the first time. He says, you know what to do. You can do it.
We can do this. We got it. We got
it's like Reigns giving him a pep talk. You can pick up, Kane. Don't worry about it.
We got this. Yeah, that was a good...
And the second time, you can see Kane telling them, you know, step closer. I got to land on them properly.
Right. It's like, I don't want to do this a third time. Let's get this right.
And the second time, they finally broke the Spanish announce table. Rest in peace, Spanish announce table.
It was in this match where JBL was like, guys, the Spanish table's over there.
Yeah. It's like they picked the wrong table. Oops. But yeah, fuck. It was sweet. And then everybody's laid out, but Ambrose and Reigns.
And they're like, you want to do
There's
this?
Nothing else to do. You know. Yeah, I know. Well, you want Yeah, let's. Okay. Yeah. Come on.
Let's go. And they went. And it was
great.
Yeah,
this is like two friends just like, you know, like it was almost like Irish drinking buddies. Yeah, we got nothing better to do. Let's fight.
let's have at it. Let's fight a little bit.
What the hell? But, yeah, no, it was this was a fun match, like I said. What did you call it? A mess? Or
I called it a seven-way.
Yeah, no, what did Omega call it?
What did Omega call
chaos.
It? Chaos.
Yeah, that's it. Chaos. It wasn't a train wreck. It was just all out. You could tell that all of them were having fun.
They were. The only part of this match was like, every time Randy Orton got involved, the match slowed down. But every time Ambrose and Reigns and
Rollins... There was one point in this match where I saw Randy get in, you know, and reassert himself. And I was like, just lay back down. We're having fun.
Right. It was right after all the Ambrose and Reigns stuff. He gets involved and just slowed it down again.
And it's like, hey, you know what? Mom's not around to make us play with you. Go away.
And for that, I think, no, that was right before he got the triple powerbomb. He took control, and then they were like, nope, we're going to put you through a table. Go back down.
Boom. There you go. But we got all of it. We got Dirty Deeds. We got the powerbomb. We missed the curb stomp.
I love the spot after they've taken down everyone in the match. It's just Ambrose and Reigns standing there on the outside, and they look at each other, and Roman goes, loser buys beer?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, just a total fun fest. That's all it was.
This is one of those matches where I'm going to be keeping an eye on the time, and I'm going to go back and rewatch it when the replay comes up on the network in however long. Because it's one of those matches that you could watch two or three times and still get a good feeling out of it, and you got to laugh at all the good bits. So.
We're trying to figure out how many times J&J Security died in this match.
I lost track at four.
I was close to about a dozen. But anyway.
Like I said, I lost track after four.
Yeah. We had missed Superman punches, missed spears, missed dirty deeds, spears, clotheslines, dirty deeds, a lot of Kane, a lot of RKOs. You name it, we had it in the finish.
They gave you everything, and like I was saying, you could tell they were having fun. When wrestlers are having fun in their match, it just comes out, and it's infectious, and the crowd picks up on it, and it just makes it even more enjoyable.
Right.
Yeah, entertaining, sure, but fun. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. There really is.
Kane played a major role in this one. Go ahead, Mace.
It goes to show that these three guys in particular, Reigns, Ambrose, and Rollins, when you put them together to actually go up against each other, it's going to pay off. So hopefully they get that idea and go, hey, let's try and put these guys a little bit further up in the card in regards to, you know, Ambrose. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we get a proper three-way match between them at whatever pay-per-view they're putting on in 6 weeks. or next week, or the two weeks.
Build
18 weeks. I can't remember. They put on pay-per-views all the fucking time now.
Whenever. Money just put the three of them together in a triple threat and let them go, because you know they'll give us. They can give us 45 minutes of nonstop fun.
Because if you think about it, these were the guys entertaining us on Raw for an entire year as just a trio working on the same side, and all their matches were great.
Yep.
You put them in the ring together as just the three of them fighting, it's going to be really good.
So, this WWE, make it happen. We all want that.
Yeah. You had
Or you can go on YouTube and see them do that in FCW.
That too.
Yeah.
We had RKO to J&J, DDT to Rollins, and RKO to Kane, and then a pedigree to Randy Orton by Seth Rollins.
Not a good one.
Not a good one, but a pedigree nonetheless.
Yeah.
And that's how Rollins retained the title. And this is how we started off in the chat room before the show. Rollins needs a proper finish.
Well, yeah, because they stripped him of his actual finish.
Knockoff Dirty Deeds DDT type thing.
We've been, you know, Mays mentioned earlier making Daniel Bryan the next Mega Man. No, it's Seth Rollins because he keeps using everyone else's moves.
Yeah. So, anyway, everybody, that was Payback, WWE's latest offering, second pay-per-view after WrestleMania for May 17th. I'm telling you guys, this is, to me, a much better pay-per-view than extremely boring. I mean, Extreme Rules.
Well, yeah, just about any pay-per-view would be better than extremely boring.
Yeah, that was really bad last month. It was. It wasn't shitty, it was just bad.
They had that Mania hangover.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that just seems to happen. But this one, it just picked things right back up. And I kind of, you know, I'm looking forward to watching Raw tomorrow night, kind of wondering what the fallout's going to be with everything. Lana got kicked out of the dressing room tonight by Rusev after basically she verbally threw in the towel on his behalf. Does this mean that she and Rusev are done on screen and she's going to become a crowd favorite now and embrace the decadence, you know? All these questions and more.
It's getting there. The official breakup's probably coming on Raw this week or next week. It's coming.
Yeah. So, and now tomorrow Kane and Rollins gonna make nice, you know, kiss and make up, as it were.
I hope so. I'm tired of them teasing this split in the authority between these two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I almost get the feeling that they're gonna eventually break Kane away from the authority, and it's gonna be Kane versus Rollins in the match, and I don't want that because that would suck.
Embrace it, Tim. It's coming. You know it's true.
I know it's coming. I'm just, you know, wishful thinking.
Could be in 2 weeks.
Because you got to remember, post-Mania, anyone who is the WWE champion has to face Kane.
Could be bit worse. Could be Big Show.
No, sometimes they're saving that for after Kane.
Yeah, there are times I hate being a booker because of you just know where the other guys, you know, what you're watching, you know where they're going to go down the road. And it's just like, don't do that. That's stupid.
Wait. You're a booker?
Yes. I'm on the booking for the original Stampede Wrestling. Looks like our show is going to be late June, probably at the Boys and Girls Club in Southeast Calgary.
There you go.
Yeah, tickets will be going on sale most likely before the end of this month, and they're going to be super affordable. And as a matter of fact, we got a deal. We're going to do family packs. Seeing as you got me into the plug mode, I might as well talk about the original Stampede Wrestling making its return in June. You can follow Stampede Wrestling on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/originalstampedewrestling. Plus, Stampede Wrestling now has a Twitter account. If you're on the Twitter machine, follow @StampedeWrestle on Twitter. And, yeah, no, like I was saying, things like family packs where you, $40 for the family pack, that'll get you four tickets, two adult, two kids, and then, come on in and watch, some real wrestling. And we're talking about, we're bringing old school back, you know, stuff that we keep bitching about missing, where wrestling tells every single match tells a story in the ring.
There you go.
Yeah. Just stay tuned for details as they come out.
Hopefully that's the plug you need it, Tim.
There's a plug.
Getting it out there.
Yeah. Well, Heartbreak Mike was ecstatic to find out that Stampede Wrestling was coming back. So
I know. That's why I wanted you to mention it.
Yeah. All right.
Go over the pick'em results.
I have to say congratulations to our good friend Michael Peterson over in, what is it, Swazi, Switzerland, Swedenland? He's in Sweden.
Sweden.
He actually won Pick'em this week, guys.
Congratulations. What was his record?
Well, let me just call it back up, the payback results. He only got one wrong. So, Michael went 7-1. Omega, Mace, you, went 6-2 along with Lindsay and William Robles, or Robles, or
close enough, I guess.
Something like that. William Robles, yeah. William Russian Money. No, don't say that. So yeah, you guys went 6-2. Rock, you and I went 5-3 with Chris Pierce and Andrew Brooking, and three-way tie for 10th place. 8-Ball, Rob, and Subway. They all broke 500. 4-4. Starscream, Josh has a perfect record, but he only picked 4 matches. Way to be, Josh. You went 4-0. Now imagine if you'd picked the other 8, or the other 4.
Right, you got to join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Get all the picks in.
Yeah, and of course, our buddy Diddy there in Japan, originally from New Zealand, now living in Japan. Girl, 3-5.
Gotta do better, man.
Yeah,
gotta do better.
Yeah, but if this was a New Japan Pro Wrestling show, he'd be, you know, 100%.
Oh, he'd be like 10-0, let's face it. So, and that's Pick'em results for this week. Congratulations, Michael. I'm happy you won again. Good for you, man. Good job.
He heard his name and popped in the chat room.
Oh, you did? Really? Where is he?
He just popped in the chat room.
I don't see him.
He's in there. He's in there.
He's in there, but he hasn't said anything
yet.
Yeah,
he just popped into the chat.
Oh, there he is. He just showed up. Yay, Michael. Thanks. Congratulations to you.
So you mentioned him, and he appears out of nowhere.
Boom. Diddy boom. Yeah. Oh, jeez. I just got a text. I need 3 tickets, please. Okay. As soon as they're available, we'll get you 3 tickets.
Selling tickets. Her. There you go.
I only need 1 ticket, but it's got to be one of those ones.
Yeah,
that
it's
on
like a $4,500 ticket, and I'm not paying it.
I'll work it off. It'll take me 5 years to 10 years to work it off.
I'm still not paying it.
Give him the Mark Henry contract.
Not that I don't like you. I love you, Mason. I'd love to be able to bring you out here, but I'm still $12,000 in debt, so.
Get him a ticket on the boat, and it'll take him as long as it can to get out here.
So, yeah, there we go. So I guess we're done looking at the pay-per-view. Are we doing our stables this week?
We're just going to go to quick hits.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, Tim. Do you want to see Samoa Joe in WWE?
Do I want to see Samoa Joe in WWE?
Yes.
Yes, with a caveat.
Okay.
Let him be Samoa Joe, not some dumbass Umaga clone bullshit gimmick crap.
Okay.
But we don't get to hear William Regal say Umanga anymore.
Good. I don't care. I want I want the WWE crowd to chant Joe's going to kill you.
Maybe tune in Wednesday night on the WWE Network. Maybe. Maybe. Speaking of which, Mace, what match are you looking forward to at NXT TakeOver Unstoppable?
What matches are there at NXT Unstoppable?
Good to see you're paying attention to the product. All right. You got Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn for the NXT Championship. You get Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. You got, currently, Hideo Itami taking on Tyler Breeze and Finn Balor, just to name a few. You got Charlotte and Bayley taking on Emma and Dana Brooke as well. And Blake and Murphy taking on Enzo and Big Cass. So.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Blake and Murphy. Go support my boys. Wub wub.
There you go. Omega, what match are you looking forward to at NXT TakeOver Unstoppable?
Well, it was the main event, should it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And by default, that would my second runner-up would have been the Triple Threat, should it happen.
Should it happen. I believe Zayn and Owens is going to happen, at least by the TV. They did some awful voiceover into it saying the match is happening, so...
Yeah, I heard it promoted tonight.
Yeah, oh my god, on the show on Wednesday, they spliced in some awful, awful voiceover of Sami Zayn trying to say, yeah, I got injured by John Cena, and then it was just an awkward shot of Kevin Owens in the ring. And then they show, hey, here's the wide shot of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens talking.
Yeah. Honestly, it's... I'm probably going with the Triple Threat. You know, no matter if it ends up being a single or they end up throwing someone else in there. Because it's Finn Balor. It's a takeover event.
It's gonna be awesome.
I will watch for his entrance alone.
Yeah. Alright. Tim, you have become a porn star. And you are doing a film with Sonny. What is the film called?
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. I heard that, Mace.
I said nothing!
So, Mace, you've become a porn star and are doing a film with Sonny. What is it called?
My Last Hurrah, because it would end with me putting the shotgun to my lips and pulling the trigger.
And Omega, same question.
The one thing that wants me that would make me want to fuck Lita.
Because the reason this question was asked, apparently there's a rumor going around she signed with Vivid Video.
Oh, God.
That's the best headline from 1997 I've ever heard. Nowadays, no. Disgusting.
Yeah, just forget it.
And there you go. That's Quick Hits.
And that's another edition of WT or Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio right here on the Law Talk Radio Network. Everybody, regular time next Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. Follow Wild Talk Radio Network on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Also, check out our Facebook pages, facebook.com/groups/WhiteTalkRadioNetwork. Facebook.com/WhiteTalkRadioNetwork. Yeah.
It sounded like you said white talk the first time.
No, wild talk. I said wild talk. I did.
Okay.
I did say wild talk. All right, you can follow me on Twitter twice. Not once, but twice. That's right. At Flames Forums and at Trivial Tim. And also, while you're at it, follow Stampede Wrestling at Stampede Wrestle. And keep up to date on all the good happenings going on there. If you don't have Twitter, get Twitter. Don't be silly. Join the social media revolution. And speaking about revolution, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's another edition of WTR's post-Raw show.
The Raw post-show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Right
I was close.
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I was going to add to your plug, facebook.com/originalstampedewrestling as well.
Oh, thank you. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Don't tell... Oh, shit. Yeah, don't tell Katana.
We plugged it earlier. You know, you're just running through all the... You have a lot of plugs.
I do. I'm going to write these down from now on because it's like the plugs are getting to be longer than the shows.
I know, and I do all these off the top of my head.
Yeah, shut up, show off. Why don't you just tell us about Thursday night?
Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, is another edition of the award-winning The Mac with myself and Lindsay Ward. We're going to be recapping WWE Payback. We'll be recapping NXT TakeOver Unstoppable. We'll talk a little bit of SmackDown and all the news you can possibly handle. It's The Rac, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Go to RacRadioShow.com. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRac, Facebook.com/WTRTheRac, YouTube.com/WTRTheRac as well, and follow Lindsay on Twitter at LindsWard, LNSWARD. And go to Behance.net/LindsWard to check all of our artwork.
You just have too much shit to plug. Why don't you tell us about Saturday night really quickly, and don't tell us about following CB Radio on Twitter.
You can follow CB Radio on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, Facebook.com/CigarButtsAndBandanas. CB Radio is every Saturday night, midnight-ish, live right here on the Wall Talk Radio Network. Weird, wacky, the unusual. And before it, we play Cards Against Humanity, and since King Kim's was around, well, we
Did you get sound clips?
No, he wasn't around, so we took a lot of shots at him because, well, he couldn't defend himself.
Oh, sure. Kick a man when he's not around.
Well, we
Internet kick him, tough guy.
We kick him when he's around, and, you know, just we make him part of the show even if he wasn't around.
Well, your ass is according to him, so that's all good. You know what? I've heard enough of you.
Hold on,
wanna,
I'm not done.
I'm not done.
Hold on, what? I'm not what? Done. It's at cbradiolive.com, #blamerob. And check out Under the Raw Microscope on wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, like I said, I've had enough of you talking. I want to hear Mace's plugs.
Well, you can follow me on the Twitter machines at TheMaceSing. You can also go to youtube.com/WTRGamesGarage where I review video games and post random Hulk Hogan videos because, frankly, that was the only place I could post it. Coming up this week, as I just got during our commercial break today, I got a copy of The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. So that will be the next review that will be going up as soon as I can start editing.
Oh,
and other than that, I don't know. I got nothing else going on, so... Yeah. I'm boring.
All right. There you go. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to your review. I can't wait for it. Omega?
Most of my stuff can be found over on YouTube at TJ Omega. The stuff that YouTube doesn't like me posting can be found over at tjomega.org. If you want to follow me over on Facebook, it is TJ Reviews, or over on Twitter, it is just TJ Omega. Or if you want to follow a racist referee, it's at White Talk Radio.
I don't know where you got that because I didn't say white. You know, I'm not racist. I get the joke.
By the way,
I know you're talking about my Kyoto.
Anyway, by the way, you can get us on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iTunes. Just search out Wild Talk Radio Network.
Awesome, yeah. And as we say goodnight, everybody, I want to say congratulations to Team Canada. World Junior, Olympic, and now World Champions winning today by a final score of 6-1 to take the gold medal. Go Canada, go. Have yourselves a great week. Goodbye, everybody.
But before we go...
Shut what?
What happened to the Flames last week?
Shut up. What happened to the Flyers for the entire playoffs? Goodbye.
But you were screaming, go
shut
Flames,
up.
Go. What happened?
Go, shut
what
up.
Happened? What happened,
shut
Tim?
Up. Shut up. Shut up. At least we made the playoffs, bitch. Shut up.
First time in how long?
Oh, piss off. Mister, you can't win a cup.
Neither can you.
Well, we got one more recently than you did, so piss off. Shut up. Quit talking. Don't even answer me. No. 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 Bad rock.